The Lord be with you. Words are fascinating. They fascinate me. In fact, everything about words fascinates me. The way they look on a page or on a screen, and how they form on the tongue and lips. Their sound in the human ear, the way they slip into the mind, the heart, and the spirit. Words heal and hurt. Words inspire and inflame. Words build and bulldoze. The history of words, their etymology, fascinates me too. For today's sermon, I sought the meaning and history of the word sidekick. John the Baptizer is Jesus' sidekick. That's what I think. Sidekick is a term from the 19th and 20th centuries from the world of pickpocket slang. The kick in sidekick refers to the front pocket of a pair of men's trousers, which is the safest position pocket from theft. So by analogy, a sidekick is a person's safest companion. Sidekicks function like comic relief, or sometimes debating partners, or psychiatrists, or even as emotional connectors for the hero to others. In ancient literature, the sidekick's a character that a reader can relate to more easily than the hero. It's easier for the reader to imagine themselves as the sidekick than as the hero. It's in this vein that I see John the Baptizer as Jesus' sidekick, who features prominently in the Advent drama because he played his role so well. Now, he's not called John the Baptizer in John's Gospel. Instead, he's John the Witness to the Messiah's light. He never lets himself get in the hero's way. Nothing about John serves his role as the witness. We don't even know one little detail about John the Witness in John's Gospel. We only know the role he plays, the sidekick. John is the voice that prepares people to meet Jesus. You may not have thought about it this way, but consider it at least. You can't just walk up and meet Jesus on your own. Meeting Jesus takes prep work. You require preparation. To meet Jesus, you need an introduction to Jesus. Now, I know that sounds counterintuitive. I get it, but let's see if we can make sense out of it. Though appearing only as a witness in John's Gospel, his role is to help people prepare for the arrival of the people's Messiah. Messiah's coming at the appointed time, and that appointed time is now. John's identity is attached to who the Messiah is. John's a fine example of someone who's known more for what he does than for who he is. And weirdly, we know more about who John is by what he tells us about the Messiah and who the Messiah is. John's life is laser-focused on Messiah. The depth of his witness about Jesus in John's Gospel takes your breath away when you hear it. Think of all that John announces in the span of a few verses. Jesus is the true light, which creates with words of life. Jesus is exalted above all others. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Passover Lamb, which symbolizes God's deliverance of the people from heartbreaking times. Jesus takes away the world's sin and its power of brokenness. God's Spirit is upon Jesus, with Jesus, and in Jesus. Jesus will baptize people with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Son of God, who reveals God, revealing who God is and what God wants from us and from the world that God created. Now, that's an amazing witness. It could be a personal creed. John the Witness makes his massive announcement in front of all sorts of people who have different preconceptions of who Messiah is. Among those all sorts of people are people favorable to Messiah and those who aren't favorable to Messiah. It doesn't matter, though. The witness prepares the way for everyone. The witness makes the introduction. Now the people can meet Jesus on their own, and they can decide for themselves whether to follow him or not. Now, you know that's what Zoe Koshy, Ray's and Maya's daughter, went through during her 9-month-long confirmation class with me. Every time I say the words, her 9-month-long confirmation class with me, I shudder myself. The poor kid met twice a week with me for 9 months, getting ready to meet Jesus on her own. It'll be a great day next Sunday when her confirmation day arrives. Her name will appear on the list of witnesses whose faith compels them to point others to Jesus. It's been a little mysterious to me, as it was to John Wesley, why the church asks us to wait until some come-of-age point in life to meet Jesus. Wesley called confirmation a ritual in search of a theology. But Zoe's confirmation journey has opened my eyes to something new. Zoe had been preparing for her whole life to be a witness, whether she knew it or not. Her parents and her church were preparing her until she was ready to prepare herself with help. She needed help, as we all do, to get ready for a big moment in life. Zoe's preparation began the moment baptismal waters wet her head, right up to our last confirmation class together. I think John the Witness truly is the patron saint of confirmands. John's witness to all confirmands reminds them of their baptismal grace, to seek the inner light of their baptismal grace, and to hear the inward call and claim upon their lives. Baptism makes witnesses of us all. We witness to point people to life-changing, heart-mending, and soul-inspiring experiences of life in Jesus. Will the time ever come when we will embrace the role given to us at baptism, to witness and to point the way? Years ago, and by the way, this isn't a personal story, years ago, a pastor's mother asked her son why he was the only one of her children who still went to church. Instead of answering, her pastor's son asked a question in response. Mother, what did you share with your other children when they asked you why you go to church and have faith in God? Mother, why is your faith so important to you? A long, long silence became uncomfortable for both of them. Finally, she said she couldn't recall a time in her adult life when anyone asked her about her faith or what Christ and his church meant to her. More silence ensued. Eventually, though, she spoke a single, clear, meaningful sentence about her faith and what it means to her. Her son, the pastor, replied by saying, "Mother, that was a good witness. If your children do come to ask you why you go to church and have faith in God, just speak out that sentence." But then he paused before saying, "Mom, why wait? Share your faith with your children. They'll love and honor you for it as I do." It's undeniable that no church will ever grow unless Christians openly share with others why their faith and their presence in a church community are meaningful. Something else, too, is undeniable. If Christian people don't have the opportunity to practice sharing their faith in the church's relatively safe space, what in the world makes us think Christian people will attempt to share their faith in the more ambivalent climates outside the walls of the church? Try to see in your mind right now that John the Witness isn't only a witness to Jesus, but he's also a witness to us. Could you put words together in a line that's a simple, clear, meaningful sentence about why your faith has meaning for you and why you gather with people when you can gather with people in an assembly called church? John the Witness in John's gospel isn't a silver-tongued orator or even a crazy preacher like he is in the other three gospels. No, he's more like a blurter. He just blurts things out. Behold the Lamb of God. He just blurts it out. He takes away the sins of the world. He just blurts it out. Have you ever asked why the gospel writers have us meet John before we meet Jesus? I mean, here we are 12 days from Christmas, and it's the third Sunday of Advent. There's only one more Sunday to go, and this is the second Sunday in a row that the day's gospel story focuses on John, this time as the witness and not as the baptizer. You know, in the circumstances we're all in, all kinds of loss, all kinds of grief, all kinds of darkness, we might be hoping for a little Christmas today, because that's the expectation. Let's get to Christmas. Yet there's often quite a ditch between what we hope and what we expect and what we finally get. The word's out that the Messiah is coming. So it's a good idea for the first people who heard the witness's voice to get their expectations lined up and make sure the witness to the coming Messiah also meets their expectations. And so they ask the witness, "Are you Elijah?" "Nope." Are you Moses then?" "Nope." "Then who the heck are you?" "Well, I'm not the Messiah. That's who I am. All you need to know about me is that I'm the witness. I'm the voice. And all I have to say is the light is coming. Get ready." John's voice speaks between the fascinating words. He also says, "Just open your eyes. Forget your expectations and all your preconceptions. Just lay them all aside and stop trying to figure it all out and let the light come to your eyes. You're in more kinds of dark than you can imagine. You're in more kinds of pain than you can imagine. There's so much you don't know yet. Someday you will. The light is coming in the darkness. So for now, let the light come. Messiah Jesus, he's the light. The light's in him. And his light is the light of us all." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.